So I recently watched a TED Talk. And they used to be a little bit more unique several years ago, and now it seems to be a lot more of them, which there are some really interesting ones. This one was presented by a man by the name of Sean Acor, talking about a title he had was The Happiness Advantage. And this is a part of the speech that he gives and part of a book that he put out. This is the title of a book he wrote, as I said, based upon years of research through starting with collegiate and working in the business community and his involvement with, I guess he goes on seminars and throughout the business world and for training. And he posits that success or accomplishment does not lead to meaningful happiness, but quite the opposite, that happiness first must be achieved in our lives, and that leads to lasting success. He says, you know, when we are happy, our brain releases more dopamine, which in turn initiates the learning centers, the creative centers of our brains. And based upon research, happy people perform better than those in negative, in neutral, and even in stressed mental states. And he goes through a lot of different, scientific evidence to kind of support some of that. In fact, he says, when chronic stress is not dealt with properly, it can cause or even exacerbate serious health conditions, mental, cardiovascular diseases, skin and hair problems, gastrointestinal issues, all of these things caused by unchecked stress. Stress isn't bad, he says, but there are ways to address stress. We all, as we know, we all in the church face stress. We face trials and tribulations. How we address those is important in how we succeed and get over and through those trials. And he promotes an idea that we can train our brains and should be training our brains just like many do their bodies. And through developing quick daily habits, we can change our mental direction, change how we see and interact with the world. And he, through many of his seminars and his going into business, he sets up a 2-minute a day or so habit. And within 21 days, he says that he can rewire your brains. Some of these 2-minute exercises, I'll list. One is 3 gratitudes, to write down 3 positive things that you see and you experience throughout your day, which causes your brain to scan not for negative things continuously, but it causes your brain after several weeks to start looking for positive things in your life. Journaling about something that you've done in the past 24 hours that was positive causes your brain, when you do write down, causes it to relive that experience, to embed that experience. Exercise. It teaches our brain that physical behavior matters. Meditation. He states it gets over this cultural ADHD idea of us trying to do multiple tasks at once and keep heaping upon more and more things. And instead, through meditation, that allows us to focus on single things at hand. And then he has random acts of kindness, treating fellow humans with kindness. These things, he says, in small and short increments over a 3-week period can rewrite your brain. And he goes through a bunch of tests and research they've done with case studies to see that people, you know, had like a 30% increase in productivity that went through this short habit-forming, positive thinking exercise. Now, there are lots of spiritual parallels with these things that he did. I'm not going to cover today. What I want you to take away is how quickly these habits can form and they can change our outlooks towards a positive way of life. And compare that with the time that we spend being overwhelmed by satanic thought, by negative principles in our lives. And not that we even go search those out, but just by being filled in this world with negativity, how that can suppress those things that God wants us to grow and those things that God wants us to achieve. You know, Satan, especially to God's called out, never gives up, never stops trying to put us down, but goes about constantly like a lion, trying to draw us away from the positive message of God's word. You know, Satan works constantly to rewrite our brains, to seek after him, to seek after his negative message, a message that leads to death and not to life. And that is what we are called out to do, brethren, to seek after life, not death. Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 1. Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Created for good works, brethren. Created for living life with a positive outlook, not the negative. You know, once baptized, our actions can no longer be dictated by the winds or the tides, so to speak. We can no longer just let ourselves go as life would take us. We are his workmanship. We are bondservants of the Father, and much is more is expected of us when we have that title. 1 Corinthians 6 and 20. For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are bondservants, brethren. It is called upon us that we have to look towards that, those promises, look towards that positive message in his word. You know, being inundated as we are with satanic airwaves that permeate this world, it's easy to begin dwelling on the negativity. But we have to resist. In Colossians 3, starting in verse 1, Colossians 3 and verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, or things carnal. And we weren't called out of this world, as we all know, to go back into it. Dwell again on the hopelessness that Satan stands for and promotes in this world. We read in Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Proverbs 14:30, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. You know, every day we must make a choice, brethren, in the path that we are going to walk in for that particular day. It is in the small steps that we choose to take that determine where our path will lead us. Galatians 6, verse 7. Galatians 6 and beginning of verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. You know, I chose, for the most part, the writings of Paul to exemplify my point today. Paul suffered greatly for the truth, but always retained that outlook of hope. Always knew that once he finished his race, he was going to receive that crown. Knowing that the master that we all serve, including Paul and including us, will guide us not to destruction, but to perfection. I'll leave you with one last scripture in Philippians that Paul also wrote. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Constantly, Paul was encouraging the church to look upwards and not downwards and back. Philippians 4 in verse 6, concerning, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. For the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.